Our scripture reading this morning comes out of Luke's Gospel in chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. Now, this passage of scripture may sound a bit familiar, as it sounds similar to the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew's Gospel. But what we have here is the Sermon on the Plain, and it has a similar structure as the Beatitudes, but at the end, it's a bit different. So I invite you to hear these words, starting at verse 17 of chapter 6 out of Luke. He came down with them and stood on a level place, with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him, and he healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, when I look back in my life, and I can look back and see that there were several moments there, where there was moments of hardship, of difficulty, and struggle. And if we really think about, if there's one, you know, defining element, one constant element of our lives, it is that we will struggle. There are those moments of pain. There are moments of hardship. And perhaps those moments of hardship and pain come to us when we hear news about a friend that is disheartening. Or perhaps we receive a diagnosis from the doctor that we were not expecting, we did not want to hear or come into our lives. Or perhaps we're waiting for the rains to come when we're going through, you know, months and months or even years of drought. Or perhaps we're hoping, you know, for something, you know, to get us out of, you know, going from paying our bills, you know, month to month. And we're ready to be done with, you know, worrying about paying the light bill or any other bill that we have. We have those moments. And there are moments that, if we're really honest, we don't want to go back to. We don't want to have to, you know, dwell in those experiences. We don't want to have to look back too much. But as a people of faith, we know that in those moments, those are the moments where we're called to turn to our God. We're called to go to Christ. We're called to bring those issues, those concerns, those struggles, whatever they are, to our God. For we know as a people of faith that our God is greater than those problems, that the hope that we have in Christ is greater than those difficulties, that the hope and the life we have in our God is greater than any of the hardship that we face in this life. For we're looking forward and working towards the everlasting life and hope in God. But yet we also know in those moments of struggle and pain, there's moments where they were real. They were an honest part of our experience. And what I appreciate about, you know, our faith as Christians is that our God recognizes how real those moments of pain are, how real that hardship is, and that God sees our pain and our difficulty. In our reading here, we have, you know, a great multitude of people who are struggling. They have illnesses, they have diseases, they have, you know, unclean spirits, and they had come from all over just to be with Jesus, for they had heard and learned that, you know, Christ could heal them, could be with them, could save them from their pain, from their disease or their unclean spirit. And so they are there with Christ. And as a people who see no Christ as no God in the flesh, no God incarnate, you know, our God saw that pain and sees our pain today and our difficulty. And he healed those who were with them. He spent time with them acknowledging that. And he also gave them hope, you know, through his teaching and through his word and through the words that we find here in Scripture. That's where we find those words, the blessed, all those phrases of being blessed. You know, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Now, those words there, they give us hope. They remind us of the life that is found in God that as a people of faith, we witness to, you know, throughout our whole lives, you know, including those difficult moments. God recognizes that pain and recognizes how hard it is, but yet shows us and teaches us that there is hope, there is life, and there's life everlasting. And those are important things for us to hear when we are struggling, when we are in pain. Now, if I'm really honest with you, I would love to end the sermon right here, just stop here and we can go about the rest of our business. Because this latter third of our scripture reading, this last part here, can be hard to hear. Especially if we are not struggling with something, and even more so perhaps if we are struggling with something, because it can be a bit confusing. And I'm talking about the woes here. Starts at verse 24. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you. I mean, who really wants to hear these woes? I mean, how blessed we are, all the blessed. Man, I could go all day hearing those words. But woe? Not so much. It's not something that we want to hear or experience. But why are these words here? These words are here for a reason. These words remind us of something about our faith. Now, when I've looked at these words, I've prayed over them, studied them, and sought wisdom and guidance for others, and in their experience with this passage of Scripture. And what comes back to me is how these words can be a warning. Especially for those where things are going well, where things, we don't have to worry about, paying the bills or wondering where our next meal is coming from. We've got a home that is in good shape. Things are good and there's nothing wrong. If things are going well in your life, amen, that's good. I don't want to take away from that. But as a people of faith, we know that our lives don't exist just for our comfort or our easiness, that we're called to be a part of the kingdom of God, that we're called to proclaim the hope that comes from Christ, to proclaim that grace and mercy that God has for the world. And these verses pull us away from moments of complacency where we don't care anymore. Perhaps we just put the blinders on to all the problems of the world and just focus on the good in our lives. These words pull us out of those instances and those moments. They're powerful words. But they also can serve as that warning. They can call us to examine ourselves and encourage us, I believe, to make sure that we are no longer complacent in our faith or ignoring the needs of others or ignoring those who are hungry, those who are uncertain where their next meal will come from or how they will pay the light bill. Because it's all too easy when things are going well for us that we look at people who are struggling with judgment. We look at them with a lack of compassion. We no longer have empathy for those who are hungry. And I believe in our day and our age, we are in an age where we need compassion and empathy and care for those who are struggling. Because it is cheap and easy to sit back in our easy chair, turn on the news, and start casting judgments on so many others. and we forget that we ourselves have had moments of pain and hardship and difficulty. And God was there for us in those moments. And I believe for all those who are struggling, God sees them. God is with them and calls me to go be with those who are in need of God's love and care. And so for us as a people of faith, the last third there, yes, it is hard to hear, but they are important words as it calls us to have compassion and to care and not to think that we are so great that we have the world figured out, because our God is calling us to something greater. God is calling us to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a part of that work of proclaiming the good news and justice and mercy. So for us as a people of faith, when things are going well, when we have our needs met, how are we helping others meet their needs, especially those who are struggling, those who are not certain of where their next meal will come from? How are we, living and advocating and being in ministry with those who need God's love and presence, and more importantly, God's hope in their lives? Because God believes those who are struggling, and when we have struggled as well, God believes we are blessed. So brothers and sisters, let us look at the world as God would have us see the world, with compassion and mercy. As we are reminded of how God was with us when we struggled, let us share that hope with those who are struggling, that God is with them, that God sees them, and has a message of hope and love, and a reminder that there is life everlasting that is greater than all the pain we have, and there is hope now because God sees them. Let us work and live and advocate so others will know God's love, will know God's hope, and know that there is hope greater than any struggle or difficulty that they face. Because God sees us and loves us, and God sees and loves all people. Amen.